We are continuing our series on gaining victory over sin and temptation. And the drawing that you just saw was a professional's drawing out of a drawing that I did. But I talked about that drawing last week, and I thought you might want to see, you know, this great work that she had to start with. And because there's a couple advantages over my drawing, if you'll shoot that up there. You see, I had multicolor in mine. She only had black and white. And my people on the right side that look like lollipops, you know, I was in a hurry, so I didn't quite have time to put legs and arms on them. But I did think that my sword play in the bottom left corner was really effective, and she might have thought about using that in hers a little bit more. But obviously, she did a great work when that's what she had to start with. And my goal was to take that idea and give you something that literally you could write on a piece of paper yourself. You could write it on a napkin. If you just came for the first week this week, we're talking about this victory over sin and temptation. And the idea that we're using is the idea of a castle. And the first week we looked at the innermost sanctuary, the palace there where the king dwells. And we looked at how the Holy Spirit, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, comes to dwell within. And it's that power of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us and gives us the desire to have victory over sin. Whereas in the world, oftentimes the world has just given up and just chosen to live lives of sin and just say, you know what, as long as we're not killing anybody, it's okay. As the church, we're called to go before God and find out His plan and live out His plan. And so then the second layer there is the layer of the people of Christ. Those around us, we talked about this last week, having a team around us to support us and encourage us and to do our faith with together. And we talked about what that looked like. And either one of those you can go back and listen to online. And then this week, we're talking about proximity. This week, really, we're talking about the part that we have to play. The first part is the Holy Spirit speaking through us, and the Holy Spirit will do that. Second part is what other people do to support us. This week is kind of the nuts and bolts of what you and I need to do. We've got to make some decisions. If we want victory, we've got to make decisions. And sometimes they're very hard decisions. Sometimes they're decisions that are going to sever relationships even, because there are relationships that might be pulling us away from things that are good and things that are godly. And sometimes there are decisions to actually give up things we enjoy because those things have taken precedence over our faith and our family. And so that's what we're going to talk about when we talk about proximity. Now, it's not a fun sermon for me, because I'm gonna be very transparent with you guys, because I believe we all have challenges in our life. I believe everybody has things that is your Achilles heel, so to speak, the thing that if the devil wants to tear you down and drag you down, he knows where to attack. For some of you, it might be materialism. For others, it might be the approval of others. For some, it might be pride. For others, it might be lust of the eyes. Might be lust of the flesh. Others, it might be greed, envy. Whatever it is from your past, maybe unforgiveness and bitterness. So that every time you start to move forward in your faith, it's like you get bombarded from the devil to really try to drag you back into whatever that is. Well, I want to say to you today that I believe God can give you victory over that. In my past, it was pornography. When I grew up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but a good home. And so I was protected from a lot of things. But I remember my first hunting trip with someone, a family member, and upon going on that hunting trip, the hunting lodge there was plentiful with Playboys. And as a young teenager, discovering those for the first time in my life and being absorbed all of a sudden by these desires I didn't even know I had. And then as time went on, we got cable TV. And so it went from the magazine to the television. And struggling, wanting to be, as a new Christian at 16 or 17, wanting to be pure and yet having this temptation ever before me. I even remember going to my parents and confessing to them, having watched some shows on HBO that I knew were wrong, and them saying, well, you just need to do better and quit doing that, which helped absolutely nothing, because just telling me to stop was not going to stop. And then going off to college and having all the freedoms that I never had before, and moving in with a non-believer into a house where he had HBO and Cinemax, and I had a room of my own with a TV of my own with anything I wanted to watch, pretty much. And being a believer in Christ, not wanting to be in that life, and yet coming home to that house and falling back into that sin, choosing that sin time and time again. And I was wrestling, because I really did love Jesus. I really did. I loved him. I did not want sin in my life. But I would say that I was addicted, to the point that I would keep going as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool will return to its folly, is what Scripture says. And I tried. I went and shared with friends of mine, and they're like, oh, Steve, every boy struggles with that. Just pray a little bit more. And prayer would help for about 30 minutes. And then I go right back to the garbage. And I went and talked to a pastor. He said, well, you should pray more and you should just stop looking, which lasted about 45 minutes. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit, remember we talked the first week about the Holy Spirit telling you to do something? And the Holy Spirit, in my prayer time, said, you need to confess before your Bible study, your whole Bible study. Well, understand that my Bible study was co-ed. And I tried to work a deal with God that I would just share with the guys in the group. And the Lord said no. And as I shared and confessed that sin before them that night, I saw for the first time the disgust of my sin. As I saw the look on the ladies' faces, and I could read what they were thinking in their mind, here's another pervert. And as I felt that shame, it was like the first time the Lord said, now you can really see the true face of sin. Now you can begin to find healing. And so I did. I began to seriously pursue, Lord, how can I be set free? And what I'm going to share with you today are just some things that I've pulled through Scripture. I'm embarrassed by the fact that at one time in my life I was addicted to that. But I want you to know that I'm speaking out of a point of victory today. A point that you too can walk in, whatever you came in shackled to today. Whatever the sin is, maybe it's gluttony. Maybe for you, the way you find comfort in your stress is comfort food, right? Maybe for you, it's materialism. Where you find peace is when you're shopping and buying something new, trying to find and buy your happiness. Maybe for you, it's the bottle. And one drink's never enough, until you get to the point where you made a fool of yourself before your family and friends. I don't know where you're at, but I want you to know today that I believe Jesus can give you victory. I believe he wants to set you free, and I want to be a testimony to how that can happen and encourage you to have the guts today to make hard decisions to get there, because that's what we're going to look at. So you got your Bibles? Go ahead and turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. Page 974 of the Burgundy Bible. If you got your Burgundy Bibles out, you can open that up. Page 974 of the Burgundy Bibles, Galatians 5, 16 to 21. In this passage, we read the first verse of this passage, I think 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the Holy Spirit being in our lives. I want you to hear the whole perspective here, starting in verse 16. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Which one of these boxes do you check? Or which, maybe it's more than one. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and their sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to speak to us. Lord, I thank you because you are here to set us free. You are not here to heap guilt upon anybody's head. You're not here to bring shame. Lord, you're here to bring conviction that we might turn from our sin, Lord, and we might push it as far away that temptation would begin to feel like a thing of the past. And so, Lord, we come humbly before your throne and we pray that your Holy Spirit would have reign over this message and this service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. Go ahead and pull that. I got 6 points today. I was like, oh man, how do I get all that in? And so you're just gonna have to be tracking with me. I'm gonna hit the scriptures quicker than I normally do. And so you can follow along with the words on the screen or in your Bible, either one, but I'll be tracking a little faster. First thing I want you to see, if we want this victory, we must submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that word submit is huge because we talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you don't do it, you don't have any victory. Okay? The Holy Spirit will tell you some things you need to do. Let's say, for example, alcoholism is your trouble. Well, then the Holy Spirit today may tell you the first step you need to do is go take all the alcohol in your house and just pour it down the drain. And you think, that's a lot of money. I had a buddy that he was battling with pornography. And he was tired of it, sick and tired of it, and calling out to the Lord. And the Lord said, get rid of it. And so he said he was driving down Highway 111, pulled his iPad, which is the thing that he was struggling with, and just threw it out on Highway 111. It was gone. Of course, my first thought is, I wish I was driving behind him. You know, it's like I could clean that up and use that. But he just decided it was time. If he was going to get victory, he was going to have to make some hard decisions. When you are in battle, when you are in war, there are no easy decisions. People are going to die. When you are in this battle against sin and the devil, something's got to die. Things in your life have to change. You have to make hard decisions if you want that victory. For some of you, you need to break off a relationship. Because for some of you, that relationship is only leading you further and further away from God. And you've tried to make it a relationship built on God, but the other person is not interested. And so what's happening is you're finding yourself less and less interested in God and more interested in them. And guess what? If Jesus is not at the center of that relationship, it can't glorify God. Doesn't mean it can't survive, but I'd say to you, it can't thrive. So submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, he talks about how the flesh and the spirit, they war with each other. My flesh says to me, Steve, you're a pastor for 30 years, for crying out loud. You can handle cable TV in your house. The Holy Spirit says, you are an idiot if you put cable TV in your house. Steve, you know you can't handle cable TV. We've been through this before 3 times. You need that proximity, that distance between you and temptation. Are you willing to make the hard decisions? I'll be honest, the thing I miss most is football on Sunday afternoons. So for those of you that have figured out how to way to stream the NFL games, let me know. I want to know, okay? All right. What hard decisions would God tell you to do? Will you submit to the Holy Spirit and do them? Will you submit to God and say, God, I really love going to car shows with my buddy. I enjoy car shows. But if you go to car shows with your buddy and you always wind up going to the wrong place that night and spend a little too much time doing something you shouldn't be doing, and it leads you away from your family and the Lord, then you need to give them up. For me, in college, I just drew a hard line and said, no more R movies. There was no PG-13 back then. It was G, PG, and R. And I had to say, you know, I'm just not going to watch anything that's R. Maybe you're strong enough. That's not a temptation for you. That's not your issue. Whatever your issue is, you've got to make a decision to make some hard decisions so that sin can't control you and defeat you. The second thing is decide now not to walk near temptation. Decide now not to walk near temptation. Proverbs 7 is a proverb that was written from a father to a son trying to give him wisdom. And he's trying to warn his son not to walk near the home of the harlot. And in Proverbs 7 verse 6 he says, while I was at my window of my house, looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. The dad's trying to say, listen, don't walk down that road. You know what's down that road, right? Most of us, when we're tempted, it's not a new temptation for us. It's not a surprise. God knows how to tempt us. A lot of it may come from the things you struggled with when you were younger. Bringing back those memories and those temptations. I want to say to you, God wants to give you victory over them. But you can't be walking near that. So for me, when I decided that I wanted to put my addiction behind me, I made a decision, and most of you probably laugh at this, I just chose not to walk up and down any magazine racks. I would literally go to the store at Walmart and I would look for the outlet that didn't have any magazine racks, because always on the cover there was something there that I didn't need to see. Maybe it wasn't a big deal, but for me, one image could shoot me right back to my past and I didn't want to go back. Where is it that you don't need to go? What road do you not need to travel? Maybe for you it's video games. Maybe that's something that you've been addicted to in your past. Maybe there's something there that you've just got to choose not to play video games because it leads you into a dark place. What is it for you? Decide now not to walk near temptation. David and Bathsheba were by far the most famous affair I've ever read about or heard of. And the situation happened. You can flip over to 2 Samuel 11, you'll see that it was all about proximity. David was in the wrong place. She was in the wrong place. Starting in verse 2, it says this. It says, in the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, at that point, David should have said, done deal. No more conversation, right? But he didn't. It says, then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. Now, probably in his mind, because we're all so good at justifying our sin, he probably said, you should bring her in here. She's the wife of one of our military leaders. I probably need to make sure she's doing okay since her husband's not here. Right? You ever tried justifying that sin? It's like, well, I'll just do this for a little bit to relax myself because I've had a stressful day. Well, I'll just participate in this activity for a little while because I need to get a little more social time. I'll just go with my friend because my friend needs someone with them as they go to this party that I know I shouldn't be at. We make excuses. Verse 4 says, then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, "I am pregnant." Then David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent him to David. David's plan was to get Uriah to come home, have Uriah sleep with his wife, and then Uriah would think the baby would be his. That was David's plan. Sadly, David was choosing the coward's way out. And when that didn't work, because Uriah came home, and Uriah wouldn't even go to his wife's house because he said, "I will not enjoy the pleasures of my family while the other soldiers are still in the battle." And he slept at the castle. He wouldn't even go home. So David tried getting him drunk. That didn't work. This guy was just solid, a great guy through and through. And that didn't work. So what does David do? How does he repay him for his years of service? He has him killed. He sends him home with a note. He carries his own death note with him and hands it to Joab, the leader of the military. And David basically says, "Take Uriah to the front of the battle, then pull all your men back and leave Uriah there to die." And that's what happened. So now this one sin of lust of the eyes goes from lust of the eyes to affair to death to cover up. Sounds like a modern day story, doesn't it? Truth is, that's what happens to all of us. That's why God hates sin. Sin begat sin, which begat sin, which begat sin. It just multiplies. That's why we've got to choose to walk away from the temptation, to not be in the proximity. What does that mean for you? Well, if your struggle, if you're a shopaholic, and I believe that's a real thing, people trying to buy things to make themselves feel better, you probably need to stay away from all the new buildings over here at Eagle Point, right? Really? Okay? If your struggle is alcoholism, maybe all your friends are just fine with stopping at one glass, but you can't. Then you need to tell your friends you aren't good with that, and you need to bring with you your Dr. Pepper everywhere you go. And you may feel stupid walking in with your Dr. Pepper, but I tell you what, it's better to have 160 calories than embarrass yourself for life. I was at an event that was a secular event, and at this event they had all the alcohol you wanted to drink, and I felt so bad because there was a sweet Christian lady that I knew, wasn't a part of our flock, but she was there, and she was even talking to me about the Lord at the beginning of the event. By the end of the night, she was so sloshed that even the other folks that were there were just embarrassed for her. It was sad. That was her issue. She couldn't handle her alcohol. What is your issue? Will you choose to make the hard decision and separate yourself from it so that the devil can't have the victory? Proximity. What are you willing to do? I've had to make hard decisions in my life because I don't want to go back there. So I've even restricted myself, my computer. I've got this thing called Covenant Eyes. We've got information about that. If you wrestle with pornography, if you've ever wrestled with pornography, you ought to get it on your computer. You ought to get it on your phone. You ought to get it everywhere. What it does, it just sends all the websites you go to, it sends all of them to your accountability partner. And so I've got somebody who sees all the spots I go to, and he asked me, he's really good. He asked me, it's like, "What about this one? What about this one? What about this one?" I was like, "Well, that," and it'll flag the ones that are good and bad. And so I know that if I look at something, somebody's going to know. And I want that because I want a distance between me and sin. Does that make sense? So you got to ask the question first. Do you want the distance between you and sin? Do you want to affair-proof your marriage? Do you? Because if so, you're going to have to make hard decisions. You're going to have to make hard decisions. I was talking to somebody recently. It's like, look, you don't need to be chatting with someone of the opposite sex on Facebook if you're married and they're married, or if you're married and they're the opposite sex. Everything I need to do needs to be public, not private chats. Well, she needed to talk to someone. Introduce her to your wife, okay? Make some hard decisions. We've got to choose this is the part we do. We've got to choose. God won't do this for us. We've got to set this distance up. Other things for you, maybe the places you go, the people you hang out with, making those hard decisions to put that distance. And then three, be accountable to others. Be accountable. Find some people in your life that genuinely want you to be strong in your faith, that share the same Christian values, that will pray with you, that won't beat you down when you fail, but they will build you up when you succeed. Find those people in your life that when you're struggling, you can call them up and go, hey, I'm really struggling this. Will you pray with me? And they'll stop right then and pray with you. You need those people in your life. We talked about that last week. Don't be the Lone Ranger Christian. Now, David, to his credit, in 2 Samuel 12, the next chapter, he allowed himself to be accountable. Now, understand, David was the king, so anything he said went, right? In verse 7, it says, then Nathan said to David, you are that man. He was bringing the accusation to David that David was the man that had committed adultery. You can go on and read the whole thing, but bottom line is, in verse 13, he says, then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord, Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. David messed up royally. He had an affair. He killed somebody over it. He lied. He deceived. And finally, the Lord calls him out on it. I'm sure the Lord was talking to him all along, like, David, don't do this. David, don't do this. David, don't. But finally, when David is confronted by somebody else, a man of God, David repents and is accountable for his sin. I want to encourage you, find someone who will hold you accountable. We need that. I've got that in my elders group. I've got that in my men. If you want a group, Tuesday morning or Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Tuesday above Gunnell's Florist, 6 a.m. downstairs in the basement. We have men's groups. We have women's groups. We have singles groups. We have married groups. We've got all kinds of groups. We have freedom ministries. We've got all kinds of groups to help you have that in your place in your life. Find somebody. Get accountable. And then number four, never let down your guard. Don't ever get so prideful to think that you've accomplished it. I've been to that place in my life, and it's always dangerous. Several times I've tried to bring cable TV back into my house thinking, okay, it's been years, I am good. And next thing you know, it's a commercial. It's me staying up late after everybody's gone to bed because I can't sleep and going, I'll just flip through some channels and sooner or later finding something that leads me down a path of darkness. And so I can never seek to let my guard down. Look at what it says here. Look at what it says here. 1 Peter 5. And this is a passage you may want to mark in your Bible forever because it's a good one to help with temptation. He says in verse 8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Let me just stop there for just a second. Who do the predators go after? You ever watch that National Geographic or Animal Planet Now? Back in my day, it was Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom. You ever see that? It was always funny. The old guy was always like sending Jim to attack the lion, and Jim's going out there with a stick trying to rouse the lion. And anyway, you have to watch it. But whenever they talk about the lion, what the lion would do is they go for the weak and the old, right? That's what they would do. The easy prey is what they would go for. The ones that were firm and young and were staying alert, they'd never catch. It was those that would let their guard down, the ones that would go out by themselves. And in the same way, the devil wants to isolate you. One of the things people say to me, well, you know, I don't need church. I believe in Jesus. I can be a Christian at home. You can. I mean, but you will be isolated. And you'll be picked out by the devil as easy prey because you don't have that support system in your life. Small group is meant to be that support system. We need that. We need people that will pray with us. Verse 9 says, Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering. All around the world, everybody battles temptation and sin. It's universal. Now, in this picture, this moat that goes around was designed so that the enemy couldn't easily get to the walls, right? But there's one way the enemy could easily get in. It was if someone let the drawbridge down from the inside, right? And that's what this is telling us not to do. Stand firm. Don't get confident to the point that you think, you know what? I can handle one glass of wine, if wine is your temptation. I can handle one TV show, if that's your temptation. I can handle one trip with my friends to Franklin for a shopping moment, if that's your temptation. I can handle one conversation on that chat line online that, you know, I know they're lonely and they really need encouragement because they're going through a tough time. I can handle one conversation. No. Don't let the drawbridge down. Don't give the devil even one foothold. Keep it up. Stand firm. Be diligent. It may cost you. I was talking to a person one time, and we were talking about the struggle they had, and they had had an affair on the work site. Not uncommon these days. You work alongside with someone even more hours than you're with your own spouse. And they were sharing the struggle there, and I said, well, quit your job. And they're like, what? I said, you need to go quit your job right now. And he was like, I can't quit my job. I got bills to pay. I said, listen, is she going to be there tomorrow? Yeah. And the next day? Yeah. And the next day? So you think that you can just go right back into that same situation and you won't be tempted and fall again? He's like, well, I don't know. I said, you're a fool. The answer is no. You can't go back in that same situation. But this is my job. How many jobs are there in Putnam County, people? Maybe it won't pay as much. But you know how much a divorce costs? They ain't cheap. You know how much it costs for the rest of your life to deal with the hurt? A lot of you do know what it costs because you have felt that hurt. You have felt that pain. And I would just tell you, sometimes you're going to have to make hard decisions to save your marriage. You're going to have to make hard decisions to keep your faith. You're going to have to make hard decisions to live a righteous life in a world that will mock you for values that they do not care anything of anymore. But I would tell you, if you will stand firm, the devil's going to leave and go look for an easy target. And you can continue to grow and help the easy targets be strengthened as well, and helping those around you. Now, the fifth thing, don't tempt others to sin. Now, this may sound like a no-brainer. Like, Steve, I've had my issues, but, you know, I wouldn't tempt anybody else. And I would just say, really? All the times when we don't have issues, like, I would just tell you, alcohol's not my issue. I'm not trying to be prideful. I just never liked it. And so you could hand me anything, put it in front of me, it wouldn't bother me, and it doesn't bother me to be around it. But I've got friends that it does. And I don't need to flaunt my strength in front of them to say, well, it's no big deal. Come on, just have one. I need to support them and strengthen them. In the same way, I don't need my friends mocking me going, oh, Steve, anybody can handle cable TV. Just go get it. Quit whining about not getting to see the Pittsburgh Steelers and go get TV. You know, I need you to say, hey, listen, I'll tape it for you and I'll send you the link or whatever you want to do. You know, that's what I need. Not for you to tell me to go out and get something that maybe I'm not ready for. We need to support and strengthen one another, not tempt one another. Jesus had some serious words about people that will tempt children. Here's what it says in Matthew 18, verse 5. He says, and anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusted me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. Wow. Temptation's inevitable, but we don't have to add to it. My first exposure to pornography came through a family member. For some of you in here, you've got younger siblings. I had a friend tell me his first exposure to drugs was through his older siblings. For some of you in here, as parents, you were the children's first exposure because you didn't have the courage to tell them not to watch a show because you're going to watch that show yourself. And so you let a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old come in and watch an R-rated movie, and well, now they think it's the greatest thing ever, and they want to see them all because then they feel so much more grown up than the kids around them. I was talking to a young kid, couldn't have been any older than 10 years old this week, and not in this body, but I was just talking to him, and he said, he named a slasher movie, and he said, "Hey, have you seen that movie?" I was like, "No, and I'm not going to." He's like, "Oh, it was so awesome." I'm thinking, here I've got a 10-year-old that somebody's parent or aunt or uncle or babysitter has let him watch this movie where people just get slaughtered left and right, and he thinks it's awesome, and we wonder why we have the issues we have today. Parents, can I challenge you to learn the word no, and can I challenge you to use the words not in my house, okay? You will not always be popular, and your kids will not always be happy with you. But there are times that you and I need to say, no, not in my house. And I'll step on some toes and make some people angry. Men, some of you are playing some video games that are inappropriate for any age, but you're playing them with your kids. And I want to challenge you. Look at those through the eyes of a woman, or look at those through the eyes of God, and ask yourself, is this really what God wants? Because more and more they're moving to just blowing people up and putting more and more naked women on the screen. It is no longer Space Invaders like we knew it, right? Okay? And so I want to challenge you. What are you setting up for the next generation? Are you causing them to be tempted? Moms, dads, have courage to tell your daughters and your sons to wear clothing that won't be so revealing to others and perhaps lead them to attract the wrong type of people. Moms, dads, what if we choose to wear clothing that covers up? Is that a word, covers up clothing? I'm going to start a new brand, the cover up clothing, you know? I'm not saying we all got to look like a bunch of bag ladies or a bunch of old men that don't want to like wear anything but pajamas and go to Walmart. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just saying, I think we know what tempts other people. And when we flirt with someone who's married, when we dress in a way to attract their attention and their approval, we are choosing to lead them apart and away from Christ and maybe away from their spouse. I would say to you that we have a choice not to tempt other people. Adults, we set the example for the teens. Teens, you set the example for the children. We can all live an example. And the last thing, 1 Corinthians 10, I want you to know that God will give you the strength. It says, verse 12 says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So no matter what you're going through, you need to know that God can provide that way out. You may be in so deep, you're like, Steve, I can't see a way out. There is a way out. But you've got to want it. And you've got to be willing to pay the price. And then the last thing is, when there is no other choice, this is real important, get this. When there is no other choice, run. Just run away. If you're in a tempting spot, and you don't try to just win the spiritual battle like, well, I could be a Christian witness at the bar tonight with my friends, because if I stop with one, even though I never stop at one, if I stop, don't even try that. Just if you need, if that's your weakness, just run. I've learned I'm going to quit trying to win the spiritual battle when I'm in the heat of the moment. I'm just going to run and make more preparations so that I don't even have to be in that temptation. That's what Genesis 39, I'm not going to read it, but Joseph was the example that I was using. And Joseph is being seduced by his master's wife, and he tells her no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden, she grabs him, grabs his coat, and then he's the one doing right. And what reward does he get for doing what's right? He gets accused of rape and gets thrown in prison. So I'm just telling you, you may do everything right, and you may still be the one that gets accused. But you're still called to do what's right. You and I are still called to make those hard decisions. As parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, listen, make the hard decisions to do what's right as you're leading others and influencing others. And for yourself, make the hard decisions to do what's right. And when you have to, just run. Just run. Well, I've said a lot today. My hope is that you will begin to make a decision to build some proximity, some distance between you and temptation. Only you know what you battle with. Is it pride? Then maybe you need to choose not to necessarily run for the awards anymore that you know you can win. Maybe you need to choose to train up somebody else that can be the next leader of that area and find your joy in seeing others succeed. Is it materialism? Maybe what you need to do, instead of spending that money on yourself, you need to choose to give away 20%, 30%, 90% of what you earn in order to find a way to get yourself free and learn to be generous instead of self-absorbed. Is your temptation sexual immorality? Your temptation to find the next person to have the moment of excitement and then cast them by the wayside? Then maybe you need to choose to just not date anybody until you're at a place that you can treat them and honor them the way God calls you to treat and honor them. Are you in a relationship that continually leads you into sexual temptation? Then maybe you're in a place where you need to choose to break that off until both of you can choose the Lord's plan over your own plan. None of what I'm saying is easy. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need others. But if you'll put that distance between you and that sin and that temptation, you can end up living in victory and not having to fight the battle every day, but only once every 3, 6, 9, 12 months when somehow it sneaks in through the back door. If you would bow your head with me. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, the first step is trusting Him and submitting to Him and giving your life over to Him. If you're here today and you've been a Christian and you're chained in sin and you want freedom, it's really the same step. It's confessing that sin and asking forgiveness and giving your life completely over to God, whatever He says to do. So whatever God's speaking to you, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance and commitment. If God is speaking to you, then pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. Dear God, please forgive me for my past. Today, I surrender everything. I want you to be my God. And I want to be your child. Lord, I need your help to have victory over sin. But I trust Jesus as my Savior today. And I pray for His strength. In His name we pray. Amen.